Barcelona. Anita Halleck asked her deputy director of security, "Was he telling the truth?" The woman sitting before Halleck's desk was Gilda Nordquist, young, large-boned, statuesque, flaxen hair braided tightly, wearing a short-skirted dress of glittering metallic fabric. She reminded Halleck of a Valkyrie, strong and dedicated. On her lap rested a small electronics box, not much bigger than a personal phone. She was squinting at the vari-colored curves wriggling across its screen. Nordquist raised her head to look directly at Halleck. "The scanner is analyzing his voice tremors," she said, in a voice as clear and vibrant as a Nordic stream. "It's too bad we got no video. His eye movements would have been useful in determining if he were lying to you."
"Maybe that's why he killed the video," Halleck said.
"Probably. The scanner should be finished its analysis in a few seconds." As Halleck waited impatiently, she thought that perhaps she should relieve the oaf who had allowed Jordan Kell to escape and hand his position of security director to Nordquist. The box beeped once. Nordquist looked down at its screen again. "He wasn't obviously lying," she reported.
"What does that mean?" Halleck demanded.
"Mr. Thornberry's vocal patterns don't show the kind of stress that's associated with outright lying. There's some stress there, yes, but that might be simply from the fact that he was speaking to the chairwoman of the World Council."
"Was he telling the truth or wasn't he?"
"I'd say he was, within the limits of the context of his words." Halleck frowned. "Why can't she give me a definite answer? Was Thornberry lying when he said he hadn't heard from Kell?" Seeing the annoyance in the set of the chairwoman's jaw, Nordquist explained. "What Mr. Thornberry said to you was truthful, but it might not be the entire truth. He said that Mr. Kell did not call him, and that's probably the truth. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't know where Mr. Kell is." "I've already dispatched the security team to search his premises," Halleck said. Nodding, Nordquist murmured,
"Always a good maneuver. Even if they don't find anything, they might frighten him into admitting his guilt."
"Where else could Kell have gone?" Halleck asked the empty air. "He doesn't know anybody. He's been off Earth for nearly 200 years.
"Douglas Stavanger," Nordquist suggested.
"How would he get to Cellini?
How did he get out of Barcelona?"
Halleck thought about that for several silent moments. At last, she leveled an index finger at Nordquist and said, "You go to Cellini. See Stavanger face to face. Even if he hasn't taken Kell under his wing, there's always the possibility that he'd be tempted to do so. Him and his independent nation of Cellini. You make him understand that Kell is a fugitive and I want him in custody."
Nordquist picked the scanner off her lap and got to her feet.
"I'm on my way," she said, her expression stern. As the Valkyrie swept out of her office, Halleck mused, "If she can locate Kell, I'll make her director of security."
The World Council's communication complex was a mere 5-minute ride from the Council's headquarters through the deep tunnel system that connected the two buildings. In his office at the underground complex, Oswald Frankenheimer stared at the wall screen image of Aditi's brain. Castiglione, sitting to one side of Frankenheimer's desk, asked,
"Well?"
Without taking his eyes from the intricate tracings of neurons, Frankenheimer said almost in a whisper, "I could get a Nobel out of this."
"Nobel Prize?"
Castiglione's expression was more amused than interested.
"If I can disentangle the communicator in her brain from the other cells, isolate and identify which cells she uses to communicate with her people on New Earth..."
His voice sank too low for Castiglione to hear.
"You'd open her skull?"
Frankenheimer pulled his attention from the wall screen.
"Open her skull? Are you insane? She's not some experimental animal, for God's sake. She's much too valuable for that."
"Then how?" With the patience he would show when explaining fundamentals to a teenaged student, Frankenheimer said,
"We get her to communicate with New Earth while she's in the neutrino scanner. Then we can see which neurons are activated, which cells are part of the communications device and which are not."
"Ah," said Castiglione, "I see."
"And we go on from there, mapping the cells that are activated."
"This will tell you how the device works?"
"Not entirely, but it'll be a start."
Castiglione pondered that for all of 5 seconds. I understand that our own communications techies will be receiving tutorials from New Earth.
Yes, the first one is scheduled for later today.
If they learn how to build such devices, you won't have to probe Aditi's brain.
Frankenheimer shook his head so violently his hair flew askew.
No! You don't understand!
Understand what?
If they willingly tell us how.
I want to understand this technology from first principles, Frankenheimer insisted.
It's one thing to make copies on a monkey-see-monkey-do basis, but we need to understand how this technology works, understand it so that we can build such devices for ourselves without help from New Earth.
But the end result is the same, isn't it?
No, it's not. If we learn how to create such technology for ourselves, we don't need New Earth's experts handing us the technology like superior beings handing a gift to benighted children. We'll know just as much as they know. We'll be independent of them, not dependent.
Oh, so that's it.
But Castiglione was thinking, and you, Dr. Frankenstein, go on to win the Nobel Prize using Aditi as your experimental animal.